Heavenly Father, we thank you again. The first service Sunday of the year. Lord, we worship and we adore you, Lord. Thank you for the great and wonderful things you did in the past year, Lord. And we always say from your word that even greater things and more glorious things will the Lord do. From glory to glory, you are transforming your people, Lord. Father, on one of these days, Lord, oh God, we shall see you face to face. And when we see you, we shall be like you. Now are we the sons of God. And it does not even yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when we see you, we shall be like unto you, Lord. Father, on that day of your journey, Lord, let not any of us be ashamed in that day, Lord, but be ready in the name of the Lord Jesus. As you have admonished all over the years, Lord. Father, thank you. Again, taking a reading of your word right now, Lord. Bless us, Father. We ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
This morning, all power belongs to Jesus. Amen.
Yes.
All power belongs to Jesus. In Matthew 28, verse 16, after the resurrection, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some even doubted. Verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Praise the Lord. Where is he, man? The thought of the natural man is that power exists in himself, including the power of government in temporal things, like natural rulers, right? And also, even some of them, power of salvation, they think, you know, it's within them, and they can save themselves, you know. But God's thought is different, right? But just as in almost everything, the natural man's thoughts and ways are always the very opposite to God's way of doing things and thinking. So God foreknew this thing, and he declared it to us in his word. Isaiah 55, verse 9. So like I said, man was always thinking that power exists within itself. The power to govern the people or to rule the nations, they think it's within them. Even though they think that they can save themselves, and they are entitled to do that. But God said that's not so. Man's thought, the unborn again mind, is always contrary to God's mind. In Isaiah 55, verse 9, we read, God declares so to us. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Many people don't know that. The unbelievers in particular, they think that they are all sufficient, you know. It's understanding. I mean, natural man accumulates in the idea that the source of power and the channel of power exists in and is derived from the people that are ruling and things like that, you know, and that power for salvation even exists within himself. So they think that way all the time. But God Almighty knew what is in man really, you know, and he has foretold us all these things and warned us about it. I say God Almighty knew what is in man. Book of John chapter 2. There are done so many miracles and things like that. The Bible says he did not give himself unto man because he knew what was in man. Let me read that one to you right now. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the fifth day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. Whether they know it or not, the Lord Jesus knew all men. And needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. So he created all things, he created man. You know what is in man? So now today, the power that the early kings have, the earthly king, the power they think they have, whether you are US president, whether you are Putin, whether you are the Chinese government, or all those where they are, whatever king you think you are, all this power that they think they have, they were delegated power from God himself. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Why? Because all power belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. All power in heaven and in earth belongs unto the Lord Jesus Christ. So all the kings of the earth, as they are reigning, what they have is a dedicated power that God permitted them to have. And they don't know it. So, having said that, so we see that since all power in heaven and in earth belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of glory, the reign of kings on earth is nothing but a delegation of civil power to them by the Almighty God. Now, in Psalm 62, verse 11, I read, God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. By the time I end this morning, you know where I'm going, you know. So, now, men think they have power. They think they have power to rule and so on, like that, you know. No power but is of God, brethren. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So, in Psalm 52, verse 11, God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Romans 13, 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher power. Now, hear this now. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. See that? Delegated, ordained of God. I thought that, you know. 1 Peter 2, 13. Submit yourself. Yeah, we are to obey them to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Anyway, whether it be for the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him. See that? All these people and some were in place of government and so on, they were using delegated civil authority from the Almighty God, because all power in heaven and in earth belong unto the Lord Jesus. And those who are even occupying this position, they think they are all enough. They think, oh, people elected me and so on. Well, the ultimate one that put you there is the Almighty, eh?
Amen.
They put it in the heart of the people to elect you there. See? And they don't know it. And some of that, you know. So, but that is really the truth. So, anyway, and, you know, so, now, many things are salvation, they can save themselves, right? And we have to tell them and tell all the world. Bible says that in Isaiah 43, verse 11, I am the Lord, and beside me, there is no Savior. I'm telling you, the natural man, how they think, those who are in authority, who are in power, they think that power is from within the people, they were elected and so on. Yeah, they were elected, but it is God that makes you to be elected in there, you know. And those who think that they can save themselves, and there are many of them today, they don't know anything. God says, I am the Lord. And beside me, there is no Savior. God told us, his ancient people, meaning Israel, in Isaiah 13, verse 4, yet, I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me. God said, amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, to the rest of the world, we are told in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, I'm addressing the mind of the natural man. This morning is mainly about the political system of the world, but I put it into salvation too. Man think they can save themselves. They can go to the moon and all. They think they were all in awe, but God's news for them. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So we know that. So, as the natural man, we have to think always contrary to the mind of the Lord. Furthermore, many scriptures reveal that the Lord Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So I'm talking about all power belonging to Jesus. And I'm having in mind this morning all those who are presidents, all those who are heads of nations. I'm telling them they are there because God delegated civil authority to them. I don't care who elected them. Praise the Lord. I'm going to say this morning. So now, we see 1 Timothy 6:15, talking about the Lord Jesus, which in his time he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If there be any king anywhere, Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Anywhere. Revelation 17:14. They shall make No, they shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. One more scripture by the Lord Jesus Christ, being the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Revelation 19:16. And he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of kings and Lord of lords. Now, I'm addressing the kings of the world and the mind of the people this morning, the political system in particular. Now, God's lesson to the world. God gave a lesson to the world by the experience of the first recipient of this delegated power from God. That is the Nebuchadnezzar. God taught him a great lesson so that you will think that the rest of the king of the world will have learned from that, right? So this morning I want to talk about him. He was the first one that God in the Gentile, the last four Gentile kingdoms, right? The first is Babylon, right? And God taught that man a lesson that all the rulers of the world should have learned from. Let's go over that lesson this morning. When God was about to delegate or commit power into the hands of the Gentiles, he took the greatest possible pain, so to speak, if you want, to impress upon the first recipient of that power, that is Nebuchadnezzar, and upon the rest of the world through him, that they should learn from this man, right, what he revealed to Daniel already, the prophet in the land. What did he reveal to Daniel that all men should learn? What is it? Daniel 2:21. He, meaning God, changed the time and the season. Two people will learn. He removed kings and set up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. God does that. He removed. I don't care who elects you. God set up kings. He removed kings. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's all the things they will learn, but the wise will learn. See? Anyway, for God to teach Nebuchadnezzar this great truth, what happened? He had to afflict him and humble him for 7 whole years. And thus the decree go like this in the days of Nebuchadnezzar. And I will read Daniel 4:32. And they shall drive thee from men. The humility God gave this man to learn him a great lesson. Drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and 7 times shall pass over thee, the Bible says, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. People have to put this in mind all the time. See? And give it to whosoever he will. I don't care who elects you. It's God is the ultimate. Nothing happens on this world without the Lord. See? Now, 33. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. And he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his ears were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like the bird's claws. And at the end of the day, I, Nebuchadnezzar, said, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned to me, he said, and I blessed the Most High, and I praise and honor him that liveth forever and ever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. I wish people should know that, right? And they have learned from this king. And he dwells according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. See? And then none can stay his hand. I don't care which government of the world. Nobody can stay his hand. No devil, no man, no angel can stay his hand. Or say unto him, what dost thou? At the same time, my reason return unto me. And for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and brightness return unto me. And my counselors and my laws sought unto me. And that I was established in my kingdom. And excellent majesty was added unto me. So that's verse 37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth. All whose works are truth, and his ways judgment. And do that to walk in pride, he is able to abase. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. What a lesson. I think all the presidents in the world should learn this lesson from this man. Amen. Praise God. He's able to abase all who walk in pride. Now, thus we see that God so humiliated Nebuchadnezzar until this man, imagine, a penitent worshiper. Amen. He became a penitent worshiper after the humiliation. Not only that, a royal preacher, become a preacher for God, amen? We pray that most of our leaders will become like this at this end of time, amen? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
A penitent preacher, he became and so on, until even his throne was turned into a pulpit, if you want, amen? One of the most beautiful testimonies of God in the whole Bible, the hidden king. When God has humbled him, amen?
Amen.
That should be our prayer for our leaders these days, amen?
Amen.
Those who are proud, God is able to humble them, abase them, you know? So, state paper, if you, the newspaper and so on and so on, what is it? They become sermon for the living God. And he acknowledges it. That's what we should pray for our leaders in these last days. I'm saying this thing because of the political atmosphere in this nation in the last part of months. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, the law will not delegate power in the earth without making it perfectly clear that he was not partnering with it. It's temporarily, when we appoint, it's temporary, amen? Not forever. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
See? No earthly king shall reign forever, no matter how much they try to hang on to power. We see them in Africa. Some of them we can do like 40 years. Eventually they will leave. God so permits it to be so, right? So, no earthly king. God, when he delegated that power, he marked the beginning and the end of it in divine providence. Praise the Lord. So, we wish that all people, all leaders should know these things, and even God's children should know these things and some of that, you know. So, anyway, therefore, the Lord simultaneously describes this power delegation in the origin of it, the history, the character, and the end of it. The law further revealed to us that in the case of power, talking about power, like political and so on, as with everything else, anything ever entrusted to man, there is deterioration. You get to deteriorate. That's what history tells us. Man has ever perverted the best gifts God gives to them. We see it. Even in spiritual things, examples, God gave prophets, right? Then you have false prophets. We call it false prophets. God gave teachers. Then arose false teachers. God, man is always perverting, you know, the thing that, even the best gifts of God. You see? So it's always like that, you know? Why man claims that he is ever advancing? They claim, we are going to the moon, we are going to Mars. You think they are advancing, right? Well, you know, political economists and statesmen assure us that progress is in everywhere visible. But in the recent, it's a progress ever and everywhere downwards. See, they are just going down spiritually and getting away from God. That's what it is, you know. We can see this truth in the Gentile kingdoms that depicting the image, of Nebuchadnezzar's dream, which I briefly go over it again. Give anything to man without God, down the drain they go. So in that image, metallic image, we even see that one, that image, degradation of quality, right? Let's go to Daniel 2:31. Thou, O King, saw it, and behold a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, washed, the metals, how they begin to go down in deterioration. We know they are the kingdoms of the world, right? Head of gold, fine gold, its breast and arm and its arms of silver, its belly and its thighs are of brass, its legs of iron, its feet part of iron and of clay. Can you hear me? from gold to clay. Can you imagine that? The kingdoms of the world, degradation, you know, deterioration. I'm insisting without God, right? Both in the interpretation and the history, we know that these are the last four Gentile kingdoms upon the earth. The head of gold, we know, was Babylon. Because the prophet says, thou, look at the head of gold, right? The breast and arms of silver represent the Medo-Persian Empire. The belly and thighs of brass represent the Grecian Empire. The legs of iron represent what? The Roman Empire. While the feet of partly iron and partly clay represented Romanism mixed with fascism, with communism, and the Antichrist system. We know that. Working hand and glove together. So the powers represented by the image began with gold, but end in clay and mud. Man's system, man's government, right? That's how it ended. And so on. Deterioration. Whatever God gives to man who has no God in him is deterioration. I don't care that going to the moon, going to crash one of these days, the Tower of Babel, the crash. God saw this thing in the beginning. And the ever tending, never ceasing downward course of human endeavor without God. So we see that around there. The Lord foretold all these things in history. Babylon was an absolute monarch, right? The head of God, right? So, and God likened to God. There came the Persian Empire, monarchical government, by king and nobles, and God likened it to silver, like I said. Greece was aristocracy, right? Not of birth, but of intellect, and some of that, you know. God said you're like brass, you know. And Rome, at first, democratic imperialism. At the end up with communism and the Antichrist system, like I said before, you know. So, now, God did not leave us in darkness today. What will come after all these Gentile kingdoms have all gone away? All power in heaven and in earth belong unto the Lord Jesus Christ. He only delegated the power to these earthly kings for a while. And we know by prophecy how it will all end. In Daniel, the second chapter, 34 verse, to how it will all end. So God did not leave us in darkness. What comes next at the end of these Gentile kingdoms? You know, in Daniel 2:34, thou sawest part of the dream, till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet, that were of iron and clay, and break them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and become like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain, and filled the whole earth. See? This is the dream the prophet said, and he said, and we tell the interpretation thereof, before the king. And I'm going to take the interpretation, like he said, in verse 44 of this stone. Verse 44, the end, when all this kingdom have been gone away. Verse 44, and in the days of this king shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. See that? We shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces. This is interpretation of the dream, right? And consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. God's kingdom will stand forever. For as much as thou said that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and it break in pieces, the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. So what is it now? The end of this thing, the next kingdom, is the kingdom of God, the universal kingdom of the living God. And so we'll be at the end of all this in the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we are told, in Revelation 11:15, that And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world, you see that, are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders, which sat before God on their seats, fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. So we see, at the end of all this, Gentile kingdom is getting to an end right now. See, the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, shall see the whole earth, we rule all the earth. So all history, you know, all history is but what? The fulfillment of what God has foreseen. Look at history. God called the end from the beginning. History is just a fulfillment of God, what he has already foreseen and declared in his word. And what he has provided for, and what he has provided against too, you know, whatever motives may actuate and sway its actors, those who are acting on the scene of the world today, no matter what is actuating them or sway them away, the counsel of God shall stand. Amen. Praise the Lord. God counsel shall stand. See? Now, what's that? Isaiah 46, verse 9. Remember the former things of old. For I am God, he says. And there is none else. I am God, the Lord says. And there is none like me. Watch. Declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not done. Saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. So what I'm saying here this morning, no matter what happens, let us not forget that even God foreknew history and he prophesied of them before they happened. So, and here is what the Holy Ghost said by the mouth of Apostle Paul concerning these things when he stood in the capital of the third empire of the Gentiles, meaning capital of Athens, meaning Greece is the third one, right? Here what he said on Mars Hill in Acts 17, verse 24. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything. See what? That really amazes me, right? People do that, they do something for God. Well, praise God. He involved us because he loves us, right? Didn't need anything. Praise God. As if he need anything, you know. Seeing he giveth to all life and breath. See? And they don't even remember that. They think they're just their own savior. They think they just exist by their own self. That as they can stop it in the spirit, they cannot see it, you know. He giveth life to all. Praise the Lord. So, and all things. And has, look at this now, I'm going to this verse. And has made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed. He determined them before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation. So he called the times and the seasons. He had determined all these things before. Oh, I wish we could have learned from the scriptures, both rulers of this age and people of this age. Now, this morning, our last presidential election in this nation was quite like no other, as we all know by now, of which the disputing of the validity of the same continued this week, you know. And as we enter the week, we have to enter it prayerfully. We should be confident, having read these things this morning. And we have learned from the scripture. And look, you know, we have looked this morning, we read the scripture that God set up kings, cut down kings, and things like that, you know. And if I may add something to this thing, a fitting word written or spoken back in 1897 by one E.W. Bullinger. And I read what he said, fit this time, and I want to read. Now, talking to the Christians now, to us, to them, as we go to this week and the days to come, to them that walk by sight, that's unbelievers, God's ways indeed are unnoticed and unknown. But we children of God, having the eyes of faith, brethren, a divine plan is still running through the history of the past. See? You know, God's children, you understand things from the Lord. And I continue here, a second. And keep me here. Now, with all the distracting events passing before us today, there are many distractions today, you know, with the chart of God's word in our hands, the more sure word of prophecy in our hearts, and the law and the testimony as a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, we are enabled to estimate at their real value the tumult of sights and sounds by which we are surrounded. Today there are tumult of sounds, threatenings, and things like that. Don't take these things lightly, amen? But nevertheless, with the chart of God's word in our hands and the sure word of prophecy in our hearts, we can march not only to the week, to the year, with confidence. We know that our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. We see that empires and kingdoms have faded out from the recollection of the people that have come after. That the place of the mightiest dynasties, knows them no more. But in the volume of the book, it was written for peoples then unborn, so that to the ends of the earth it might be known, quoting from the book of Daniel now, that there is God in heaven. He changed the times. God changed the times and seasons. He removed kings and set up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding. So, now, talking about the worldly kings, how about the children of God? Now, he also delegated authority and power to us, amen? Praise the Lord. See, I talk about the world system, right? How about God's children? He told us in Mark 16, in my name, cast out devils, authority and dominion, spiritual authority and dominion, right? And lay out on the sea, they will recover, speak a new tongue, you know, drink any deadly thing shall not hurt us. And of course, in Luke 10:19, I give unto you power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt us. Talking about rulership, right? We are told in Revelation chapter 1, verse 6, I believe it is, unto him that loved us and has washed us away from our sins, you know, and has made us to be kings and priests unto God the Father. Praise the Lord. Amen. We are the last rulers of the earth that will go to unending ages to come. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We are the rulers. Bible says, and we are going to reign with him. We are going to be kings and priests of God forever. We shall reign with him. We shall rule the world with the rod of iron. Amen. The overcomers of the, you know, of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Great thing in store for the children of God. The song says, I mean, kings and kingdoms shall pass away. There's something about this name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. His kingdom shall have no end. Praise the Lord Jesus. So be of good cheer later this year, going forward and so on, that you know who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. And every day, by this, you achieve the good of the overcomer in your heart. You know, all things are yours, amen. In Christ Jesus, don't say the word of God. All things are yours in the Lord Jesus. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. All that God has belong unto you and me. The Lord pray, mine is thine and thine is mine. Amen. You can say the same thing today. All that God has, all that God is, he has poured into you. Whether you have grown up to that state to know it doesn't make a difference. He has done it. He has finished it. Amen. We have to grow up into all these things. Amen. Talk about growing up unto him in all things. You know, let's go to the year with confidence. taking that which belongs unto you, sometimes, you know, by the force of spiritual arms, amen, praise the Lord. See, the weapons of our warfare, anyway, they are not carnal. They are mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. And nothing shall be able to defeat you, amen, praise the Lord. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He gave you that name. He gave me that name. No, and the Bible would say that name is a strong tower too. And we are dwelling in it when we are saved. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You can accomplish whatever is in your heart to accomplish. I can do all things. You can do all things through Christ Jesus. That strengthens you, amen. Don't put a limit, amen. Or don't be like the children of Israel. Let us learn from them. And they limited the only one of Israel. And the Lord was angry with them, amen. Praise the Lord. Don't put a limit. You know, there's no limit, you know. Can do all things through Christ Jesus. That affecting you and I. So, as we go into this year, so, and this week especially, let us be prayerful. Let us be mindful of the commandment of the Lord in 1 Timothy 2:1. I think we do it here too, as we enter this week. Don't take anything for granted. Now, we know that this week, they'll be confirming or not confirming the electoral college thing. They'll be doing that kind of thing and so on, you know. They are treading certain quarters. What may happen? Do not underestimate anything. You know, let us pray and call upon the name of the Lord. So 1 Timothy 2:1, I'm going to enter a prayer session quickly right now. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplication, prayer, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, see that, and for all that are in authority, that he may lead, here I am good, that he may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Let us also learn from what the Lord told his ancient people, the Jews. And equally applies today, Jeremiah 29 verse 7. And seek the peace of the city or country, if you will, where I have caused you to be driven away captive. We are not captive, we are free in the Lord anyway, but we are here. And pray unto the Lord for it, for the peace thereof, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. Praise the Lord. So let us not take this coming week for granted. Let us call upon the name of the Lord. That we know now, he set up kings and he cast down kings. You know, he and so on, he set them up, you know. And I always see God's children, I always say here, I don't take political, I just look at the word of God, amen. We are politically neutral, you know. So Nebuchadnezzar was one of the greatest men ever lived. See what God did through him, amen. Praise the Lord. And let us pray this morning, as I'm saying this. Let us pray about the coming week, when the Congress, they start to be, confirming whatever they want to do, the electoral vote, and all the threatening we are hearing on the right and the left. Let us just pray against those things. In the peace thereof, in this land, shall we have peace. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your word is plain. Your word is wonderful. It's truly a light unto our feet, Lord. Lord, oh Lord God, our path. We worship and we adore you this morning. Lord, thank you for your patience with the human race for 6,000 years, Lord, oh Father. And we are so glad, oh Lord, the whole thing is winding down to our end, Lord, oh God. When thou, Lord, art the King of kings and the Lord of lords, your kingdom shall now take over all these things. That's how we pray daily. Thy kingdom come. Lord, oh God, that you don't show them the way to rule. You defeated it in Joseph. When you sent him to Egypt, the Bible says, he taught their senators wisdom back in Egypt, India, which Joseph himself was a type of Christ and not in the millennium. We will teach them how to live the reign, the reign of peace, tranquility. A child died 100 years old and so on, that you know. And then from India, Lord, to the ages of ages to come. Lord, we can't just wait for you to come. We just pray daily that kingdom come, Father, and your will be done on earth in the name of the Lord Jesus. Not only in this week, Lord, in this nation, but even in the weeks and the months and the years to come, in all the face of the earth, let your will be done, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for the new year again. We commit everything. We've done that already. We are now in the pressing mode, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, thank you, Father. You have promised us you will guide us with your eyes, you say. You will instruct us in the way that we should go. So we are trusting you and we are believing you with all our hearts, Lord. Father, thank you for blessing us this morning in the reading of your word, reminding us history and showing that indeed you are the one that raised up kings and cast down kings. You choose the seasons and all these things, Lord. We with you, what we know these things, how they will have repented. So thank you again, Lord. It's a joyful thing to just read the Bible and read your word and see what you say in there concerning history and the world and the nations. Thank you for your blessing this morning. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.